God, right? But what I thought with this morning is that even you get a card on your chair this morning, okay? Take a look at it. It's just called the 5-step healing procedure. But what it is a grid of how we can pray for people. And we've done this. Okay, well, the last thing we look forward to something. So, the reality is that you believe in the priesthood of all believers. So, everyone gets to play. So, if you've got one of these, well, you would have got one of these in the chair this morning, please keep it in your Bible. Okay? Okay, please keep it in your Bible. And what I'd like to do is just demonstrate, just for 5 minutes. Now, this is a teaching that sometimes we take the whole day, we take a couple of hours to do. So, just be here. Just to say, everyone gets to play. You know, you say, in the beginning, everyone gets to play, or everyone gets to play as well. Okay, it's not just for the monitor chosen, frozen. But this is a helpful clue. It is a body, it is a framework, okay, to understand you can pray for people. Certain things apply. So, I want to demonstrate. Is that okay? So, is there anyone here this morning who goes, okay. Oh, there you go. See, I don't even know what he says, but he's here. Thank you, my friend. Okay, so the deal is this, okay? So listen, this is how we pray. And how you can all participate in this. It is so simple. And you know, you can grow and develop in your skill in praying for people. Because you just, pray with someone who has done this for a while, and you can do it and come and find help. But please, just take us in. It is so easy to pray for people. Okay? And this is a few things. In the vineyard, what you do is the opposite to other churches. We worship with our eyes closed. Yeah? We pray with our eyes open. Okay, the reason you pray with your eyes open is because you're like this, you go, Holy Spirit, come and stand. My eyes are closed like this, and he's lying on the floor. And me, I'm still sobby boy again, giving it gas, you know, he's like, right? Okay. I'm standing there, I'm on the floor of the stage. So, the other thing is, we respect people's space. Yeah? So, we don't lay hands on people, we lay hands off people. When you pray, you're not reassuring, And we definitely, the reason you don't have hands on people as well is because you don't have to put them in your head. Anyone being prayed for is someone doing this. We don't do that. Okay? If God does something, that's wonderful. Okay? So take your card, pick up your card. Okay? If you drop it. So the first thing is an interview. So the gentleman's come on, who he is, but an interview. What is your name? Pete, okay, it's Pete. Okay, so he's got a lying problem, but okay, we'll deliver him from it. Okay. So the interview, okay, so Pete, So, where is it here? That's the interview. Like, what can we pray for? Where is it here? What can we pray for? Lay it back. Okay. That's quite a good one, actually. Lay it back. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. Like, there's a good place to go as well. Okay, so we know that he's lay it back his tool. Okay? And that's kidney stones as well. So we have the interview, we know. So then you go to the next one, okay? The diagnostic decision. We know what it is, okay? What has caused the condition, right? Then the prayer selection. Prayer selection can be a prayer to God or commanding illness to God. Now, when you engage to pray, okay, I must ask the man, can I put my hand in the dock instead of coming? So I can put my hand on his dock, and that's fine. If it's a lady and you're a gentleman, or whatever the way you ask them to put their hand on. So if men to come and you just put your hand on top of theirs, okay? So, it doesn't need to be long and elaborate prayers. So we believe in this is, I'm not modeling here, but we believe in God that's going to do something here, okay? So we have some power. So it's true of God, we have prayed. Holy Spirit, would you move over man through? And I speak to these kidneys and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to those kidney stones and I say, be dissolved right now. Come with me. It will be refilled in all the way of the parts of your kidney. I just speak and release of God's presence and God's healing. Healing, Father. In Jesus' name. I'm going to take a look to you today. How are you feeling? Are you feeling a little bit of anything? No. It's okay. It's okay to say no. Because you're authentic. Okay? So, the next thing is, can you pray a little bit more? Do you feel a little bit of anything? Okay, so let's pray this to you. Okay. So, I speak to those kidneys now and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Stones be dissolved. And both pain relief. I speak to the vertebrae and the spine and I say, come in alignment. Spasm relief. Be released from pain right now in Jesus' name. So, you'll be anything? Pain is still there. The pain is still recognized. And your back? That's not an issue. The pain is still there. Okay, so we'll pray just one more time. So, Lord, is it okay if I pray one more time? God, we just speak to you. What is Jesus doing for me right now? From this time. Any spasm, any pain, we speak of release over your body, over these kidneys. Zero in Jesus' name. Healthy blood flow. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. So, did that happen? No. Okay. But that's the thing. I wonder, the next thing is the post-prayer direction. So, drink lots of water. No, you are not a doctor, you're not a counselor, you're not qualified. It's assisting life. You know, the Lord loves you. We continue to pray and trust God for you. Amen? That's simple. Amen? So, it's that simple. So, keep the part. Does that make sense? Okay? Because you really believe that everyone can pray for someone. Do you know that you can pray for someone? You know, I've never have done this before, but it really is something that each of us can do. And it's really that simple. And if you want to find out more, get hold of the church office. We can send you stuff. You can come to the healing for training, and we can equip you further in this. Because it is obviously something that we do be a lot of training. But I just wanted to put it out there, because last week, who was there last week? It was pretty much most of us who were there last week. But it was a little bigger to you last week. Did you see that? And there's a few people in the ministry team, and you know, there's 50 people in the room with their hands up. There's not enough people to pray for the people. But they are. Because we can all do it. We can all participate. Respecting boundaries when we have a space to say. Is that okay? Okay. Faith may surely not bear his fate, but I'm not done. Okay. So, this morning, we're going to carry on part two of Jesus being in grief. You know, often what happens in our lives is tragedy happens. Something happens. We face a loss. And it's a kind of a catastrophic end to something. But you know what often happens with that? It's been my own experience is that it's the foundation of a new beginning to something else. A new season. You might not see it when you're going through it. But so often when you are in that place, if we deal with grief properly, that is the foundation that God can build on for something new into the future. I would witnessed it in my own life and in the countless lives of other people over the years. In fact, miraculous shifts take place when we follow God's incredible, amazing, radical promise of dealing with our pain, paying attention to our pain in our lives and waiting on Him instead of running away from everything. It's not nice to go to a funeral. I want to wait for all this time. And there's a foundation for something in the deep. So just briefly, just for those who went to our last, how do we respond to grief? We say we pay attention to the pain. We don't run away from it. We don't cover it over with different things. We pay attention to the pain. And then we wait, which is quite difficult for us in this world, isn't it? Because we want to rest off and just get on with things. But we wait in the confusing in-between time. But the time between the pain and the loss and the healing and the moving on and the keeping on. And then we allow the old to breathe in you. We allow the old to breathe in you. You know, Alexander, I want to go again just a quick foundation. Alexander Theatre, anyone know him? The Vineyard Pass have been around since the Brahma still was there. He's written a lot of books. He looked at Stiliation, doing healing, doing church, doing just, yeah, doing spirituality, yeah, reconciliation, writing for his book on women. All right, okay, some of you got it, some of you are like, oh, this is like Stodger. But anyway, okay, so in his book, doing reconciliation, but in his book, Doing Reconciliation, he interviewed me. And I wanted to read a short passage out of it in his book. The Vineyard pastor planted a church in Johannesburg in 2002. Every Christian has been led to Christ in his teenage years, but has wandered far from God in 1998. And his father was attacked by thieves while he was opening his business. One held a gun to his ribs while the other thieves grabbed his mobile phone and personal valuables. The fight went on, and his father fell to the ground and died. The bullet passed through his lungs and heart. It was devastating for the family, and he was sunk to the core. But he turned to God, and God received him and helped him. And he became a fully devoted follower of Jesus, which is now winning many people to Christ and winning God's people. Through Andrew, this evil has come back on the devil's day. Satan is now paying for it and will continue to pay for it throughout eternity. I just wanted to kind of say that, you know, those are Alexander's words after he interviewed me and stuff. But the really is, if we deal with our grief, our loss, and our pain, God has a plan in it. And it can be the foundation for something very different in our lives. So, there are five treasures that we can discover in our grief, in our pain, and our loss, that I've experienced in my own life, and I've seen become reality in countless people's lives over the years. People have bravely taken this on, bravely said, I will grieve, I will lament, I will take my pain to the Lord, I will not cauterize it, I will not walk away from it, I will not push it down, I will not drink it away, smoke it away, draw it away, party it away, busy it away, exercise it away, or anything else away. I will face it and I will deal with it in God's way. Okay? And there's five treasures in the resurrection. Also, five treasures of grief and loss. The first one is God offers us a revelation of Himself in us. Anybody see that? Then when you go to God with your pain and your loss, somehow you discover more of who He is. Like, Lord, who am I that you love me and that you care for me? And as we embrace our losses, they enlarge our hearts to understand just how incredible, incomprehensible, inexhaustible, wonderful, amazing, fabulous, fantastic is our Father in heaven, which He loves us. God offers us a revelation of Himself if we deal with our pain properly. Anyone need a revelation of God? And it's not a one-time deal, right? Because God just keeps, I don't know, I've been doing this a while. And just keeps revealing more and more and more himself to you. It's the most amazing thing. It's like, I'll make you more. And it is always more. It's amazing. It's more expansive than we could ever imagine. And you know, I come from the Greek Orthodox kind of background, straight into the vineyard. And after my dad's suffering, in the light of his pain and all that, going to the church, and there is such beautiful revelation there. But when I was there back in the day, it was only in ancient Greek, not even in modern Greek. So you used to go to church and go through the stuff, not understanding what's going on. Now that I understand and I study theology and in modern Greek and English, whatever you go, wow, there is a rich, amazing, beautiful liturgy there. The key is, there are worlds that you can plug into. But then, as you go to the church and light a candle, the Gezi, call it a Gezi, light a candle, go to the icon, do a sabro, and some of you know what I'm talking about. I didn't know that I could have a personal revelation of Jesus. And I was trying to find solace for my pain in things that were created to lead us to Him and to worship Him, and in kind of like worshiping those things. You know, but God, as I kind of thought that God brought people into my life, and I realized that I had a personal relationship with Jesus, and things began to change. And having a revelation of God in my own life, like if I just think of Jeremiah in Lamentations. The Babylonians have destroyed Jerusalem. Man, there's stuff going on. How does he pin these words? One of my favorite scriptures. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion is never failing. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is so good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who speaks. That's kind of encapsulates last Sunday with this message. But Jeremiah pins these words when like tradition is destroyed. And we discover the depth of his love and his faithfulness that is new every morning. I mean, we can realize that he never stopped progressing and growing in the inexhaustible love and revelation of who God is. You never get there. The more I know about God, the more I want to know about God. The closer I get to Him, the closer I want to get to Him. It's this mystery of the kingdom. The more I have of Him, the more I want of Him. It's the most amazing thing. So God offers us a revelation of Himself when we press the country. The second thing is, God makes us suffer and more compassionate. Now, if you do not deal with your grief and loss with the Lord, you can become bitter. You can become hard. But if you allow it to, God needs to soften our defenses. And people can begin to experience Jesus in us and compassion in us. Author theologian Henry Nolan said it this way: to the degree to which we grieve our own losses is in direct proportion to the depth and quality of the compassion we can offer to others. To the degree to which we grieve our own losses in direct, is in direct proportion to the depth and quality of compassion we can offer to others. If you can't grieve and deal with your losses effectively, you will not have compassion for people. You will not have an understanding of how to have compassion for people. You will not be able to enter into their pain and be Jesus the skimmer to help them through the difficult times, which is what we all call to. This is part of discipleship. Henry Nolan continues, and he just teaches this: there's no compassion without many tears. There's no compassion without many tears. To become like a father is only a fully compassion. I have to see countless tears and to prepare my heart to receive anyone, whatever their dream has been, and forgive them from the heart. Peter encourages us this way. Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, and be humble. Bring our grief and loss to the Lord. Processing and absorbing our pain can help us enter into the pain of others. As you're sitting here this morning and going, I don't want anything to prepare me anymore. I've got enough problems. Well, then I submit to you that possibly you haven't dealt with your grief and your pain and your loss with the Lord. You know, why are the most generous people poor people? Because they know what it's like not to have. Some of the wealthiest people I know will not give you 5 cents. But the poorest people I know will give me the food, the last slice of bread out of their hands. I've seen it in Africa. I've seen it all over the world. Compassion, we don't deal with that stuff. We become the poor mothers and fathers in the faith when we deal with our stuff. God makes us softer and compassionate. Thirdly, God gives us a greater revelation of ourselves. Grieving reveals to us the extent to which we feel that we can do this thing on our own. Our self-will is embedded in us. But what happens is when you come to the Lord, you start to understand that there's a revelation of your own. And I'm not this perfect person that can control everything, but I need Jesus. I never understood this on a heart level. I never understood on a heart level Jesus lying on the ground in Gethsemane. And just weeping and saying, God, so being overwhelmed by the will of the Father until I have to experience my own grief. It was just a story. I've got to be honest. I grew up, you know, went to Sunday school and made such a movie. We went to Easter service. And you kind of know Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's crying and he's weeping before God and he can take this cup from me. I never really understood that God experienced grief for myself. And when you experience grief and loss, it cuts something out of us. Very much like a garden pulling you back. A tree to bear your fruit. Grief with me. Jesus is with me. I'm the tree vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit will stop bearing. He cuts away, trims off, takes away. He cleanses and repeatedly proves every branch that continues to bring fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. God gives you this, when you take your pain to him and you go, and listen, this is my experience of it, when I take my pain and I talk to him, he proves something in me, he cuts something away. And there's a foundation that is laid that gives birth to something else, to more fruit in my life. And hopefully people experience Jesus' love through me. I'm using me a lot, I mean. Okay, let me say that right. But God does something through the fire of sorrow that enlarges our capacity to wait and to surrender to his will. And it kind of detaches us from stuff that we can be filled with his presence, with more of who he is in this life. I have this pain, there's a union with Jesus that comes in, and we get filled up. We get filled up anew with his presence. And it gives us an extraordinary capacity for fruitfulness in the kingdom. So we're the same. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I've got nothing left in me, he fills me up, and then he is what spills out of me. And that is so much better than me spilling out of me. Trust me. I'm not such a master. But Jesus in me, man, is just amazing. So God gives us a greater revelation of ourselves. Fourthly, God makes us more of our true self in Christ. So is an amazing thing. It has this power to win away the most that we win. Anybody? No? When you're really greedy, when you're really lost, and there's this power to break masks off our faces. You can't pretend it's okay if a loved one dies. You can't. You can fall, but it has this power to just break the masks away. And things like our accomplishments, money, power, positions, gifts, things that we over-identify ourselves with, give way and disintegrate. The things you thought were important, that's all of a sudden not very important anymore. The things But we used to use to impress other people on that important anymore. You're kind of liberated. What happens is your grief liberates you from identifying with money, with power, with possessions, and with stuff. I grew up that way. I grew up in a separate group home. Our family was wealthy. Most of our family was incredibly wealthy. Most of our family. But their whole focus is, I sit and I talk with them, and we go to lunches and family lunches, and I just have basic people with different guys because their value system is all tied up, their identity is all tied up in more power, money, cars, possessions, things. And it doesn't make sense in my head how this comes. I spoke with one family member and he said, oh, I managed to get this watch. And I'm so excited about it. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I said, my God. He says, yeah, I got it for overseas at a really good price. I got it for 250,000 rand. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm saying it with you. You think I'm still gobsmacked that the guys had these conversations. I'm not. It just doesn't make sense in my head. But that's how we grew up. We're here and our family are still very much like that. And it's about money, power, and possessions. And they're all in these big businesses, but their kids are all divorced. And broken marriages, and that's it. And parents are speaking to children for it because it's all about the money. It's about the money. But what I came to realize, because it was for me as well, it's how I grew up. What car do you drive? Bigger businesses, the restaurants, and all that stuff. And in that instance, the phone call, all of a sudden, none of that meant anything. It meant nothing. Absolutely, absolutely nothing. All the accomplishments, all the possessions, they just get integrated in the face of grief and loss. But you find ourselves, if you're pressing to the Lord, able to follow God's plan. With new conviction, with new freedom, because we rid ourselves from stuff that's not important, not very important. I don't have to really call it anything anymore. You know, someone once asked me a question, and it caused me to reflect. It actually offended me first, but then it caused me to think about it, and I actually added it to my notes this morning, because I'd forgotten about it. And it was a family member, because they think I've lost my Bible, because I'm a poor son, I'm not making money. I mean, I had a flip. Forgive me for this, but it's my death, not my life, actually. No, what I'm saying is, you know, I'm not after the Porsche and the Ferrari and the, you know, whatever it is. Forgive me. That's what I mean, okay? But they said this to me. They said, would you be doing what you're doing now if your father wasn't shot? And of course I was offended, and I was like, yes, how can you ask me that question? But as I considered it and thought about it, this is years ago, the Lord reminded me of it this morning. I said, yes, God can do what he can do. But this for me was a life-changing moment. That broke everything in me that I but you know what? You couldn't have argued me to rest ever in your life. Because it's just, you know, the Lord, I had no frame of reference for the Lord. So, I mean, my family, like, comes from a, they used to tell me, one of these churches they had to tell us. Well, that's bad. You know, but, you know, that's the context I come from.
Like, there were no musical instruments in church or anything like that.
You know, that's so strange, really, wonderful, really, Christianity. So, there's a good guy who goes to heaven. Okay, I won't tell you that time. So, the guy gets to heaven, okay? And he's walking with Jesus, and Jesus is saying all this beautiful stuff, and he gets to this place, and there's this huge door, okay? Jesus, what's the quiet thing? not willing to accept that anyone's younger than what I'm capable of. But this isn't recorded. No, my friend is going to watch this. Hey, and Jesus, oh, guys, can you edit that out, please? You know, from this person, it's not the right. But God makes us more of our true selves. We begin to follow His plan for our lives. You know? And Christ in us slowly begins to emerge and things begin to change.
And you start to believe scriptures like this.
Yes, 2, 4, 6, 8 scriptures. You are accepted, you are chosen, you are free, you are forgiven, you are a new person. You are a child of God, you are made in God's image, and you belong to Jesus. But you can only
come to believe that if you deal with your stuff.
You can only come to believe that if you deal with your stuff, your pain, your grief, your loss, you take it to God. Because God makes us more of our true selves in Christ.
And then that stuff becomes true, and you start to believe it.
Anyone sitting here this morning that doesn't feel accepted, you are in Christ. Know that you are chosen, His perfect son and daughter. You are free, you are forgiven, you are a new person, you are a child of God, you are in God's image, you belong to Jesus. And if you're struggling with some of that, could it be that there's some stuff that you need to deal with? If you need to bring some grief, some loss, some incorrect belief to Jesus and go, Lord, I know it's here. I believe it, but help me with my unbelief. Because in Christ, all that is true. You know, when we acknowledge our brokenness and our vulnerabilities we break free from the illusion that there's something better and more beautiful out there. Jesus. Let Him go on and be led by Him. That's the deal. Because if you know that if you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you know that He loves you unconditionally, then you'll have to get through some stuff. But you don't know that. And all you get to know that is dealing with your stuff with Him. Lastly, God makes us more truly alive to our finite world. You know, what happens is if you go through grief and loss, the world becomes grey. I don't
know if anyone knows that. You can't
have the vibrancy of the world. But when you deal with your stuff, you become alive to the finite world, to changing seasons, to the wind, to the leaves, to the holidays of people, the inner beauty of people, and our hearts expand to experience God's
amazing, astonishing world,
the depths of life
beneath the surface.
We find ourselves marveling at life. And we hear life. Jesus said this.
The thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I've come to give you everything in abundance.
More than you expect. Life in its fullness and pull you over to life. But don't life to the full. It is in abundance.
It is fullness until you overflow.
That only comes from the Lord, not from stuff. What comes from dealing with our stuff, with Him. And when we get through this final phase, we're not the same. The final phase of the grieving process. We begin to realize that just as Jesus saw the disciples His wounds, we can begin to see
the world around us change.
You know, I hope that the last 2 Sundays I've come to say that I'm a normal human being, that I have my vulnerabilities, so that we're real. We're all His stuff. As Jesus said His wounds, we get to come our wounds and go into the world. To come our wounds. So Jesus to the world around us. Anyone heard of this wounded healer? We all are wounded healers.
And I think that's part of the reason I wanted to share this prayer thing with you.
Wasn't it the training of the was just that little bit of humility that we all have something to give unto Jesus tonight. What is it? Really, what it's explained so well in this story. I'll read it, I'll tell it to you. So, this guy goes to a town to meet Jesus. And where does he go? He goes first to all the big churches. Starts off with the 6,000 seaters. Jesus said he goes to the 3,000 seaters, the 2,000 seaters. Okay, Jesus is there, but stay with me for the sake of the story. Okay. Then he goes to all the coffee shops. And he still can't find Jesus. And as the conversation goes and the story goes, he meets this woman. And he says, "Where is Jesus?" And she said, "He's outside town in a leper colony." And as the conversation goes, he says, "So why would I recognize Jesus? Because in a leper colony, everyone's got two bandages." She says, "No, it's easy. He's the one who's binding up his own wounds and then binding up someone else's. The wound is healed." Okay? Well, the wound is healed. Couldn't you wait until you're perfect and sorted and healed and set free and perfect and have abundance? You're never going to do anything. We're all wounded healers. We all have tough, we're all praying things, but bring it to God and say, "Lord, this is me. Use me as you will. I'm a wounded healer." Family has been told, "I'm telling you, I'm a wounded healer. I'm in process of being healed. I'm in process of becoming who Jesus has called me to be. And God, help me, I will carry on what I think of family here into the future." So let today be a powerful reminder of what God can do when you're willing to embrace the grace of life. When you discover that God has chosen for us on this pathway of grace of life as you deal with ourselves. Stuff we never anticipated, and stuff, let me tell you, that most probably we would never choose for ourselves. I wouldn't have chosen this one for me. But I would never change it because God is willing to do anything else. I was thinking to Jesus came this morning, when I don't preach for a few weeks, I get grumpy. And it's not because I want to say, it's because stuff worries me if I don't preach. And like Paul says, I don't get to stir with God's people. But I'm not saying that you are saying that someone in the pick up bowl, the star, the supermodel, wherever I am, Jesus is with me. Amen. Telling the truth wherever we are. Do you know? But when I don't do it for a couple of days, there's an unsettledness inside me. It's not a life I would have chosen for myself. There are hidden treasures in the darkness. But you've got to face the darkness. Isaiah says this, "I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name." Guys, there are treasures in the darkness. There are treasures in our griefs and losses if we would just face them with the Lord. And we need to be people. Friends, the disciple people, the people themselves can grow, that can face up pain and find God-like compassion for people around us. Let God-like compassion flow from within us to the world around us. Because He knows that when you walk in a shopping center, if you actually just look up from the floor or from the shop windows and just look at people, you can see who's in pain. You don't need some magical discernment. Some funny thing, if you have Jesus in you, you look at people and you go, "This person looks like they're in pain." And the reason, "Hey, how are you doing? How can I pray for you?" And so, you know what? Since last century I've been doing this, I can maybe count on my hand the amount of people who said, "No, I'm praying for you. I'm fine." A broken wind out there. This is a real possibility for all of us. So, five treasures of the resurrection. God's office is a revelation of Himself. He makes us so more compassionate. He gives us a greater revelation of ourselves. He makes us warm by true faith in Christ. And God makes us warm dearly loved to a sinful world. I'm there, my dear, but for me, I don't want that. I'm not there. I want that. I want more of that. I've seen some of it, and it's not enough. I need more. And I want to say to you, if you can press into this, it will change your life. It will change the lives of the people around you. Amen? So I want us to pray again. First thing, I think we've got that. Humility through Christ may have an opportunity for you. So here's to you, you can remember in power. For those this morning, as a starting point, if you have never received Christ, this morning is an opportunity. So just say, I've got some stuff that I need to deal with, and I may hear that Jesus could be here for me. In the day of indecision of going, Jesus, I think this is true, or maybe in a place where you made this decision years ago, but God is on you in this moment, and you're going, I'm only recommit to the Lordship of Christ in my life. And I'm going to ask you to come to the front of me, and just, I want to pray a prayer for you. So if there's anyone in the room that feels that they don't really put their hand up, then we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, for those of you make a decision this morning, we also call the not yet believers into our church. Those are tired of this morning that you're willing to know you. Bring them, Lord. If you made a decision or you just want to talk about it a little bit more, you can go to the guest room at the back as we close. So why don't you stand? We wait on you. We wait on you.